Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with the kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Off the Cut, episode 39. We're up in Canada. Today is known as Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day, spicy hermit cookies.
Was that three random words?
No, that's usually what we do at the end of the podcast. Judging from the look on your face, you have no idea what the hell that is.
And neither do you have any idea what the hell? Okay. At least I'm not alone. Spicy Hermit. This is another product placement. Spicy. Oh, no, it's not. Hermit cookies. Spicy.
I could eat that.
Sorry. Sorry for the dead air, everybody, but we're looking this up, I think. It's
old-fashioned cookie. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. I'm still scrolling. I'm looking at ads.
Soft, spiced cookie filled with raisins, currants, or dates, and nuts. There's subtle cinnamon and nutmeg flavors with a chewy texture. Yeah, this sounds great. Okay, I'm all about this now. I'm bought in on the spicy hermit cookie.
I tell you what. Homework. We gotta find ourselves some spicy hermit cookies and report back.
Okay.
I'm sure neither of us will, but...
Every Christmas season, my girlfriend's like, what should I bake this year? Anything. She'll do like cookies and give them to everybody. Well, spicy hermit cookies is what I'm going to tell her.
You know, her reaction is going to be, Zach, what the hell is a spicy hermit cookie?
Yeah. Yes, she's going to have no 100%. Idea. Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, the people who do enjoy spicy hermit cookies.
We're getting right into it this week. Usually we forget for like the first 10 minutes or so.
Well, you know, we've got some housekeeping, some shout outs to take care mm-hmm. of. Our newest person that enjoys spicy hermit cookies, our newest patron, who's an Odie's Oil fan. Oh, you know, that's all right, though. That's all right.
Not everybody's a baller.
not, we get there. Odie's Oil fan is keeping it nice and simple. Scott. Mm-hmm.
Scott.
That's it.
Just Scott. Okay, just Scott. I like that. I respect when people... He's like Cher.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice and easy to remember.
Yeah.
Although, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
And I feel like we're on a small lag.
Yeah, we might have a little bit of a delay that's making it harder to communicate this week. Do we have any other new patrons?
No other new patrons, but
okay.
We got top tier, but no one has taken me up on the become a patron with an asinine name.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, maybe Scott. Maybe that's not his name. Maybe that is an asinine name.
Maybe that's Ted, and he's like, "This is funny. Exactly. I'm going to have him call me Scott." Exactly. Jokes on you, Scott. Well. We got some returning top tier patrons. We got our Cockers of Derek mm-hmm. Jennings, who's I think new last week, right?
Yes. Or maybe the week prior. Yes, he was.
We've got long standing Cockers, Corey Duvall, and of course Scott mm-hmm. Eastman at EC's Woodshop. Mm-hmm. But we also have our returning Power Cocker, Wes Willard, which mm-hmm. by the way. A perk that I don't know if we've talked about. We just set up our first one-on-one Patreon video hangout with Wes for Tuesday, right. November 22nd. So if you upgrade your patronage to a Power Cocker, you get to hang out with Zach and I and talk about whatever you want. I mean, you know, we're not going to record this, so we will talk about anything. And we're wide open books, so Wes is going to get one-on-one access with us.
Maybe not anything. Like, you can't ask me my credit card number.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's fair game.
I would not let him know what my mother's maiden name is either. Okay. I got to protect my identity out here.
What about the street that you grew up on?
Yeah, exactly. What was your first car?
Yeah. Well, remember the other ones? It was what's your favorite TV show? Or like, I hate those ones.
What was your high school mascot?
Yes.
Some of those, like, you know, if you did a deep enough dive onto somebody's like Facebook profile, you could probably figure out the answer to a lot of their secret questions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is probably why identity theft is such a real issue these days.
My thing is, like, you put down, like, what hospital were you born at or whatever. Because, like, sure, you're going to remember that. But if it's, like, what's your favorite TV show? Dude, that changes on the daily.
Oh, yeah. True. That's a good point. That's in flux. A lot of those ones... I will never select those ones because I'm like, in the future, I'm not going to be able to dial myself back into 2022, Zach, and try and remember what his favorite TV show was at the moment. That's why I stick to, like, what was your first car questions, because those are objective based in reality.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But let's see. Last shout out we want to give. Josh at Freedom Workshop, I believe, became a patron a couple weeks ago. And we challenged him. We said, give us some feedback as if the after show is worth it. Well, he made a real nice video post and tagged us in it. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah.
Much appreciated if he thinks that the after show is worth it, I mean, I can't argue with that.
Like if the after show had a book jacket, I would put his quote on the book jacket for the after show.
Top one.
Yes, top one. Maybe a little picture of him next to it, too.
Have you ever seen a book that doesn't have a review from, like, the New York Times on it?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't. My favorite one, sometimes people get really funny with it, and they'll put, like, the negative reviews on their book jacket. Like, if it's, like, a comedian writing a book or something like that. They'll take all the worst reviews they get and put it on the jacket. I always appreciate that. That gives me a good little giggle.
I don't think I've ever seen that, but I dig it. I love it.
It subverts the expectations, which that's what comedy's all about, right? Real quick, before we move on to other more pressing matters, I want to make a note. So we are doing our video call with Wes next week, and we are doing it at the time that we normally have the podcast at, correct? Mm-hmm. Because we're going to do the podcast a week or an hour later next week because we have a guest, Mark from Remarkable Woodworks. But I just wanted to let all the live stream people know that we will probably be an hour late next week.
Yep. I'm assuming we'll probably get started right around eight because I think Mark says he's got to put the kids to bed and the whatnot and the what have
exactly.
you. It should be pretty smooth sailing because he's actually has a podcast and knows what to do.
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of Mark and kids, he just put out a kid's book, and I have a couple of copies of it right behind me here.
I briefly saw that on Instagram. Do you know the whole story behind that, or should we wait to talk about it next week, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of part of his guest appearance is kind of like he's doing the book tour, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're like Regis and Kathy Lee here. He's going on to promote the book. So I think we'll talk about it a little bit next week. But I will say, I talked to Mark probably about a year ago at this time. He's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about doing this kid's book. What do you think? So he went from idea to actual physical. You can order it online. You can have it delivered to your door in less than a year, which I think is really impressive.
That's killer.
Yeah. Yeah. He just from like he didn't even have anything written and he just got it all done. So it's really it's impressive. I like people who say they're going to do something and then actually follow through and do it. It's pretty rare these days, I find.
Yeah. I still want to know who. I guess recap, what, 2 weeks or so ago, we had Derek from Bad Workwear on.
Yes. Oh, and he sent us a nice little message, too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Derek messaged us, Zach and I, this morning, and he said something along the lines of, let me just pull it up, because I think it was a pretty cool message. And I think it'd be interesting to know who this was, but if you don't want to share, that's cool, too. So he texted us this morning, and he goes, gents, I have a cool story. I had someone reach out to our account looking for me. The message said that he found great value in the episode and found himself 2 feet at the edge of a diving board and ready to jump into a new opportunity. I messaged him and said I'd gladly listen to what's holding him back to see if jumping is the right move. We had a call today and I was blown away by this guy and what he's got coming on as a side hustle, parentheses, replace his income in 18 months. And I shared my story of how I left the YMCA, which is a perfect approach for him to leave his company on good terms. We ended the call with his commitment to jumping. He's going to message me once he takes the jump. I know this podcast is a fun outlet, but I wanted to share this one tale of someone your show has directly impacted the entire path of life they are on. There are hundreds of these tales you don't even know about. Be proud of what you're doing and keep it up.
It's really nice to hear. One thing that I've honestly been really surprised about doing the podcast is I feel like, I don't know, like the podcast, it's the least scripted, least refined thing that I think either of us do, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we don't edit this at all. We don't plan it at all, but it seems to have a very outsized impact. Like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I get so much feedback from people saying they love it. Like I get just as much feedback from people saying they love the podcast as people saying they love my YouTube videos, I think. And when you consider the size of the audience for both, it's crazy. It means like, I think the podcast, yeah. It's not like, but it's, I don't know. It's more impactful. It's more meaningful in some ways. So it's, I don't know. It's really nice. I appreciate it quite a bit. It's definitely a two-way street for the audience and for us, I think, or me at least. I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like I'll get feedback from people that they'll be like, you know, we're not trying to gas ourselves up at all when you say this, but I get substantially more in-depth positive feedback from the podcast than I do from anything else.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because to give people an idea, okay, I pulled up our stats. We are, I guess as we're recording this, we only have 38 episodes. Yeah, we have 38 episodes, right? This time thing is weird. We've got 38 episodes out. And we've got 16,000 total views or plays. So 16,000 by 38.
By 38.
Is 421 listens per episode. That's,
Well,
I guess for podcasts, that's actually like in the top several percent. But
yeah.
Compared to like a YouTube video that gets, you know, 25, 50, 100, 250,000 videos or views, it's tiny.
Yes, exactly. But I guess it's more, again, like the word I keep coming back to is impactful or more meaningful.
Yeah.
Almost. I don't know. It's really nice. It's been very eye opening for me because it's not necessarily what I would have expected when we first started on this.
No, I think that we've kind of gotten to the point where we're really trying to add a lot of value, especially when we get into the after show and like, we get some really targeted, specific questions that they're fantastic questions. And they're things I think a lot of people are afraid to talk about or spill the beans because a lot of them have to do with specific dollar figures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, we're happy to share that because it doesn't affect me. Like, I don't know if I can help somebody, I'm happy.
Yeah. I would like to talk about more of that stuff in the main show, like, but there is always the concern that, like, you know, if you're talking about specifics of a contract or something like that, it's could get back to the sponsor. It's not necessarily that we're trying to kind of, I don't know, gatekeep this information, but we do have to be a little bit sensitive about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and same thing in the after show. We like to talk about bad sponsors, and we don't do that in the main show. Not because we want to hide it from people, but because it's not, you know, it wouldn't be smart to do that.
Yeah, it'd be the same thing as like you going on your Instagram stories and be like, F this brand, F this brand, F this brand, which is not what we do in the after show, but we keep it real. Yeah. If we're like, hey, this brand did us dirty, like we're going to tell people, but it's not a good look to just be publicly broadcasting that to everyone. And like, you kind of have to put it behind a little gate, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But the intention is not to drive revenue to hear us bash on people. That's not it whatsoever.
Yeah. I would actually say the majority of the content that we discuss in the after show is positive. It's pretty rare that we actually bag on.
We just, you know, that's just, I'd like last week when I had to eat my words and say that I needed to take back something that I had said prior, you know, that's something that I think our patrons, you know, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, it wasn't me bashing a brand. It was just, you know, I was wrong and I admitted it, but everybody else will find out what that is. Big,
handsome, strong man.
Yeah. Big, handsome, strong man. Too many's wrong. But I think everybody else will find out what that is maybe in December. I don't know.
Okay.
Still waiting.
That's exciting.
Can't get too excited because I have email confirmation, but I don't have a contract. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All important contract. I got a couple videos right now that are ready and waiting to go, but I had companies approach me like, hey, we want to sponsor a video. And it's like, put it out. I've tried to do the Eric thing where I'm waiting to put out a video until I can attach a sponsor to it. But I also want to keep the flow of content going. And it's that important thing. It's like they haven't given me a contract yet. So I'm like, why am I should I really hold off if I don't have a contract in place? So we'll see.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know. Like we said, we wanted to talk some more about some of this stuff in the main show. Let's just come out and talk about it. I've got a video for December. Screw it. We'll just get right into the numbers and talk about everything.
All right.
Video coming out for December that Bespoke Post emailed me about, and they're like, hey, do you want to do a video? I guess their initial offer was like $500 for a mid-roll ad read, and I obviously said no.
Yeah, beat it.
Because that's ridiculously low. I already have a video out or video ready, and it's one that is for Craig. It's my nightstand, and I'm double dipping. I'm going to do two sponsors on one video.
Nice.
So then I replied back to him. And I said, I'll do it for, I think, $12.50 or $12.75 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've never worked with them before, and my channel is just kind of starting to get on like an uptick. So I understand that, like, my past few videos have gone to the moon, but I don't have a long track record of that.
Yeah.
So I can't base my evaluation off of how my past like two videos have done, right?
I kind of agree with what you're saying, but I disagree in the sense that I'm sure you're getting a lot more offers now than you were 3-4 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in a position where you have to triage, or, you know, you kind of have to start giving some of these companies the F off price, because you're probably going to get so many offers that you're not going to have enough placements for them, right? So in a weird kind of way, you do have to do your valuation based on your last couple videos, because your last couple videos dictate the number of offers that you're getting at the moment.
That's valid. That's very valid.
Right.
So when I told him, well, just say it was $12.50. I don't remember the exact number. I went back to him. I said, I'll do it for $12.50. And then they were like, okay, we got a contact with the brand. You know how this goes on. They're back and forth, meaningless back and forth emails about like, oh, yeah, we have a meeting with them. Okay. You know, whatever. It's a pain in the ass. It's annoying. 15 emails later, they're like, okay, we talked to the brand. They said that they're okay with that price as long as you give us a minimum guaranteed view of 20,000. I was like,
okay. Yeah, that's not bad. Sometimes they want like ridiculous, like they like, we want you to guarantee 200,000 views or something like that.
And like, with my channel, I'm not doing that.
Well, you don't know. I mean, you never know, but.
Yeah, I mean, things are going well. Things are going really well, yeah. But I don't think I could promise 200,000 on a video. 20,000, sure.
Yeah.
But I guess for our listeners hearing this, basically you're thinking, well, how can you guarantee views, right? Like, I can't just be like, yeah, I'm going to get 1 million views on this video. So mm-hmm. what they will do is it's typically 30 days. You have 30 days to reach that target. And if your video doesn't reach that 20,000 views, you're obligated to make another video for them with an ad read for free.
Okay. So I've seen that. I've also seen where they will give you a percentage. So say you guarantee 20,000 views, but you only hit 15,000, they'll give you 75% of the total, which is, yeah.
Yeah. I guess my assumption is that there is no percentage payout. I'm still waiting on the contract, but I still got, you know, a month and a half to do it. So
I think they actually might have asked me for guarantee. Somebody recently asked me for guaranteed views and with the condition that I would do another video if it didn't reach that. And I said, no. And they're like, oh, okay. We don't need to have that clause then. So you never know. It might've been bespoke post. I can't remember, but it might've been.
Okay.
So there's always room to negotiate with these things.
Well, I tell you what, if I end up doing it with bespoke post, if they send me the classic box that they send everybody, that's like some silly knife that no one's going to use.
No, you get to pick. You get to go on their website, because I did it. You get to go on their website, okay. And you get to pick which things you want.
I'm going to find something that I can make really funny.
Oh, okay. Okay, I like that.
Like, if I get the knife, maybe I'll, like, you know, cut up something, like, random. I don't know. I'll think of something funny that'd be funny to cut up. Like, Barbies. I can get, like, some Barbies and be like, it's perfect. It's, like,
perfect for trimming Barbie hair.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Like, and then have, like, a collection of Barbies or something. I'm going to do something silly.
All with really horrible haircuts.
That's a business expense. Buy 50 Barbies.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I this actually is the use best this knife to make my own clothes. And like make this like horrible looking t-shirt. That'd be funny.
You can do the Michael Scott thing when he turns his suit into like a tent and a like a bandana.
I just finished filming an ad for Craig. They wanted to buy some videos for me for their like holiday thing. And I did this thing where I literally like I jump across my workbench and like do like a half roll. And I'm like, wait, stop scrolling. You got to look at this. And they're like, we love this video.
That's funny. Is that stop scrolling? So that's an Instagram ad, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
TikTok or whatever. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was the easiest thing I've ever done. They're like, do that and like do one where you talk like 10, 15 seconds about one of the tools that you like from us, mm-hmm. and another one, literally just take your phone, like hold it up to your chest, walk through the store and go to the Craig aisle and just like show some of the products that are on sale. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
It took me a minute and a half to do.
Yeah.
90 seconds.
That's funny.
But
can you, you can do 90 second videos now, can't you?
Well, no, it was like hyperlapsed, right? So it was a 90 seconds total footage. And then I just sped it up and
condensed
sent it
down
to.
Yeah,
nice, that
was it. Nice. I like that.
Nothing. Yeah. So have you had any negotiations recently that you want to share or any behind the scenes insights?
Yeah. So I have two that I'm kind of working on right now. So the one that I was talking about before is for Anker. You know, they make like PC accessories and like.
Is like it the battery cable, bank one?
Battery bank company, yes.
I think they have
They have a webcam that they want me to do like just typical ad read. They were like, we want like a 60-second integration in one of your videos for it.
Sure.
Send you a webcam. I was like, sure, fine. And so I was thinking to put that on the video where I dye power tools. So I well you I see the big
smile.
You got
the perfect idea for this. And I don't know if they'll go for it. But hear me out.
Hit me.
So you talk about how the webcam, just like straight face to the camera, right?
Mm-hmm. Like,
this webcam has opened up a whole new realm of business possibilities for me, you know, as I'm working to, you know, transition my side business into my full-time gig. This webcam, the high quality video alone has gotten me onto this. And then like cut some B-roll of like a camera behind your laptop. And then like mm-hmm. you're standing there with, you got no shirt on, but you're blocked out by your like laptop. So it looks like you're nude, like filming like OnlyFans content or something like that. Dude, that would be the funniest ad read.
Oh, man.
I have no idea if they'd go for it.
That would be funny.
But it has to be real subtle. Like, and just like maybe like 1 second clip of like that, where like your body is like shadowed by your laptop. And you could be like, hey, everybody, thanks for logging in. Like.
Yeah,
and then I have my newest spicy content up later or something like that, dude. I would piss my pants
man,
if
that
you
was
did that
so
as an
funny.
Ad read.
I would love. I mean, I'll pitch it. I'll see if they'll go for it. I have a feeling they won't, but we'll see.
My thing is, I don't even ask brands like with my ridiculous
pitches.
You just
do it, and then
I just send it to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you start the ad read out with those clips, but then at the end of it, you like go to the other side of the computer and you find that you're like chopping vegetables or you're wearing a tank top or something and you're not actually naked.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You're doing like a cooking demonstration or something. Yeah.
Right.
That'd be funny.
Interesting. And then the other one that I've had recently, which I'm still kind of going back and forth on, is I've had a crypto exchange come to me and say, hey, we want to do a, you know, same thing, like typical 60, 90 second spot.
Yeah.
But given the backlash that I got on the NFT table, I'm like, ooh, should I do a crypto based thing? And so basically what I said to them was what one I need to see usually. This is for listeners, not for you, Eric, but they'll send you like a list of talking points or a deck of kind of things that they want you to cover. So I want to see what their list is. And then I want to be, if I do that one, I want to be able to interject like my own kind of take on crypto. Like, don't invest everything in, like, you know, like very small sliver of your net worth is what I would invest in this kind of area. Something like that, you know, like standard disclaimer that I feel is appropriate for something like that. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you think we can, if I take one of like a typical like contract or talking point thing, I guess it's not a contract. It's more of just like an overview of talking points. Is that something? Because if we take out the brand name, is that something you think I could post on Patreon? So people like listeners could get an idea of like what a like requirement document looks like.
Yeah, I don't see why not. It would be the only thing I would say about that is it'd be kind of hard to put up one of those things without it being easy to identify what brand it is.
But does it matter? I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, probably not. I guess.
Okay. Like, I'm gonna write that down. So patrons.
Okay.
I will load one of. I don't know. Let's just. I don't care. I'll say it. I'll load. One of the like requirements for what am I doing? Like Aura, I think, is this web VPN thing. I'll just load one on there to Patreon so people can see it. I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, I'll find one that I can put up. Some of them are just insane. Like the one I did for the game Braid Shadow Legends. They gave me like so much. They gave me like 10 shared folders with different video assets in them. They gave me this like, dude, it was ridiculous. They gave me this like 15 long like pitch deck or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was so much. It was a lot of content is the point I'm trying to get to. Same thing with Bespoke Post, actually.
Okay. I want to air a grievance about this, though. A lot of people don't realize is like when we do these brand sponsored dealio things, like you said, you typically get like a bunch of video clips or photos or like overlay text overlays to put on there. Sometimes you work with a brand and they give you like two video clips and it looks like it was shot with a potato.
Yes. Super low quality. And you're like, what is this? I can't integrate this into my like my video that's like shot in 4K. It's like all super crisp. Yeah. And then you have this one little dude. The funniest one was when I was working with this company and I said, hey, can I have a transparency of the company logo?
Sure.
And because so you can just like throw it on screen as like a little overlay. Yeah. And it was very obvious that the person I was talking to just went to Google and Google image searched like company logo plus transparency and then sent it to me because I did the same thing and I was like, oh man, I can't get a good high res version of this logo. So I went to them directly and he obviously just did the same thing, sent me the exact same image that was like 100 pixels by 100 pixels. I'm like, this doesn't work at all.
The thing is like, I don't care if that's how you want your brand to be represented. Like, that's up to you. I mean, I think it looks awful, but like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, very true.
There was another. Oh, I have another grievance to air. And this is unrelated to sponsors. I can't get into my garage.
Oh, why not?
So if I broken go door? To like, yeah, the dude, like the door, the motor is busted or something.
I was going to say, because there's no other way to get it. There's no like back door or anything. No, so what do you do if it's a bank
of garages? So,
so you go into your neighbors and then kick down the wall.
So what, I guess I should back up and say I can get into the garage, but it is a nightmare right now.
Okay.
If I enter in the code, I hear the motor start to turn and the garage door goes up like 2 inches. And then I hear like click, 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 and it stops.
Interesting.
So I found that if I enter in the code and then like push the door up, it kind of goes like, ch-chung, ch-chung, ch-chung. Like, so it moves a couple inches and like hesitates, moves a couple inches, hesitates the entire way up. So I can get in the garage, but then it's the same thing for me to put the garage door down. I literally have to like hang on the door to get it to close.
Oh, interesting. So is it like a big buildup of dust in the track? I don't think that would cause it. Like what?
So that's what I did is I took a brush. I literally cleaned the rail tracks. I cleaned like the chain that, you know, just goes in a circular motion. Sprayed it all down with some dry lube. Still nothing. Now,
yeah, it sounds like a deeper problem than that.
So then I started looking up error codes because like the garage got a motor
screen on it.
It doesn't have a screen, but it has like indicator lights.
Okay.
And the indicator lights are blinking. It's like 5 pulses and then stops. And so apparently that means like a logic board failure.
Oh.
So I put in a work order request yesterday. Because that's a great thing about the apartment, right? The guy came around, like, looked at it, like, messed around with it, was, like, kicking stuff and whatnot, trying to get it to work, and then just, like, left. Still doesn't work. The worker order is still open, so, like, my assumption is they probably had to call, like, a garage door company to come replace this or something.
Right. Yeah. But it's pain. Did you, were you not concerned about them seeing that you have, like, a workshop set up in there?
I was, and the guy did not seem to give a damn.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Here's my thing with being a tenant. And, you know, when something breaks, it is your landlord's responsibility to fix it, right? Like the arrangement is I give you money every month in exchange for a functional place to live. When something breaks, they are supposed to fix it. That being said, if it's less than a $50 repair, I just do it myself.
Oh,
because it's not worth getting on the phone, having to deal with somebody, have somebody scheduled to have like a repair person come out and like, you know what I mean? Like if the drain in the bathroom sink isn't draining right, you know, technically maybe the landlord should deal with that. But I'm just going to open up the P-trap, clear it out myself, and not have to deal with having some strange plumber come into my house.
The old so P-trap, I feel like, power cock combo.
Exactly, exactly. So I feel like you're right on the cusp of that. Like, what's a garage door logic board cost you? You know, that might be something you get on Amazon for like $40 and you just swap it in yourself. It's garage, I mean, it's a garage door opener.
It is like $100 or so.
Okay. I mean, that's on the cusp of what I would just do myself.
And I should also add to it that these effing idiots that live here have backed into my garage door a multitude of times. So, like,
really?
It's been a good, like, 6 or 8 inches. So, yeah. You know, maybe they're just going to replace the whole door, hopefully.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if maybe the door being slightly bent has, like, slowly burnt out the motor over time or something.
Yeah, I already had to go to the tension adjustment, like, on the motor and did, like, maximum down force and maximum up force.
Up force? Oh, interesting.
Which I know you're usually not supposed to put it past, like, medium.
Because it's got, like, a for those people at home who don't know, there's a little sensor in it that, you know, basically dictates how hard the door can push so that it doesn't, like, decapitate somebody, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's a safety feature is what it is.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. There's, like, a maximum amount of force that you want to apply with it. Real quick, I'd like to air a grievance. So
please.
In my building, so evidently I've been parking in the wrong parking spot the entire time that I have lived.
How dare you?
In my current place. But not really my fault. There was a mix-up. And so the very nice couple who lives across the hall from me, they parked directly next to us. And basically, we've just swapped parking spots. Ooh. So I get a very angry email from the management company that runs the building. And they're like, hey, you're storing a bunch of stuff in the back of your parking spot. And you're not allowed to do that according to condo rules. So I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not, there's nothing in my parking spot. It's completely empty. Yeah. Second of all, every single unit in this place, somebody's got something at the back. People have motorcycles, people have boxes, sure. Christmas trees, also winter tires, all sorts of random crap. Who cares? So, and then third of all, they send a photo of it. And what it is my neighbors who live across the hall, who's actually park in the spot that they're complaining about, have, you know, that little divider you get when you have an SUV, this little pull divider that you can, like, pull so that people can't see in your rear window into your trunk.
Yeah, the little vinyl, like, you know, shade thingy.
Exactly. And in a lot of cars, that's detachable. They took that out. It's 3 feet wide, maybe 8 inches deep, and then like an inch thick. And they've put that at the back of their parking spot. And that's what the condo board is, like, all in arms about, sending multiple emails. And now they're saying that because we've been parking in the wrong parking spot the whole time, they're like, you had to swap spots. I'm like, why? Like, we're both happy with given the current situation. What are these condo board people? I don't understand. What brings them joy in life?
Dude. It's
who damaged
people
them?
Who, like, live in, like, a homeowners association or a condo board or something. They're like, I've never had any power in my life, but
exactly.
Happy to have it now.
You know what the best part about it is? The guy who lives across the hall is on the condo board. He's like one of the people best that time. But I've talked to him. He's like, I don't care. Like, who the hell would care who's in what parking spot? So. It's really funny.
I lived in an apartment in college that we had like a condo board HOA. Oh my God.
HOA is the worst.
Somebody, like, was complaining that someone, like, they put out flowers and the colors clashed with the color of the brick.
Oh my Lord.
And they made them remove the flowers.
No. Why? Oh, I've got a good one. So in our old, the old, like, condo, it was like a community development thing. It was kind of hard to explain, I guess. So there were these internal streets that were for pedestrians only. and they were considered part of the condo property. It was just basically a bunch of townhomes in a row with these internal streets. And on the internal streets, there was a paved path, and then there was gardens on either side, you know, plants, grass, whatever. And then, you know, little paths going to everybody's front door. Along that path, there was bike racks where you can lock up your bike. And somebody took a photo of a bike and I guess complained to the condo board. And they were like, we have to remove this bike because its wheels are in the garden.
Oh, but here's the funny sakes.
Here's the best part about it, though. The bike rack is in the garden. Like, the bike rack is, like, 2 feet away from the path. So there's literally no way to use the bike rack without the tires of the bike being in the garden. And they were like, well, maybe if you put the bike at, like, a very steep angle, the tires could still be out on the path and it could still be locked to the bike rack.
You can't make this stuff up, man.
You can't make this stuff up. It was just the most asinine thing. And it's like, this is what some people spend their day, you know, thinking about or working on. It's insane to me.
Oh, this is probably the stuff that my parents get themselves into, man, because they're both retired. And I'll go over there and then my dad will be like, mail came late today. And I was out getting the mail. And I saw her neighbor, you know, they're mowing the lawn. Where's and the didn't mail? Even something. I'm like, why do you care?
Yeah. My dad was complaining the other day that people drive too fast on his street. And I was like, I'm sorry, Dad. I had to put you down. You've lived past your prime. This is it for you.
Yeah. Just wait till he starts writing letters to the city.
I know, right? It is. I mean, it's going to happen to both of us, too, at some point, but not yet.
That's true. That's true. Very true. So I guess to summarize that story. With your condo board, 1 inch makes all the difference.
1 inch makes all the difference. That's actually
what I'm hearing.
The tagline for the development.
That might have to be the title of the show. The one inch where makes they all find the... out 1 inch makes all the difference.
Yes, I like that. That's a good one. That's a good one. No need for the mid-show this week because we figured it out.
No, yeah, we got it here. I was going to say it was going to be where they stick it to the HOA.
That's good, too. But the one-inch one is more sexual, so yeah, obviously that'll get more clicks.
That'll get people going. So how does one go ahead and stick it to the HOA? Like, are you going to, like, troll them back? Perhaps.
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely not switching parking spots because that's just stupid. So, I might tell them that I'm switching parking spots and not actually do it. But I don't know that that's really sticking it to them.
Here's what you do is you don't trade parking spots. And if they continue to complain about it, you just be like, well, we actually figured out that the easiest thing to do and like just right like cars. Is we're going to sell each other the cars.
Yeah.
And be like, if they have like a phone call, be dead serious about it.
Yeah, I like that. That's a great. Okay, I'm gonna do that. I gotta talk to my neighbor across the hall and see if he's game for that. But yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
If they're gonna make some ridiculous asinine rule like that, why not get back at them with a stupid story?
Yes, I like it. You got to fight stupid with stupid.
Ooh,
the one where the guys fight stupid with stupid.
Oh, man, there are too many choices. Too many choices. But I guess what I wanted to get at with my grievance about the apartment is...
Yes.
I understand that it's not just like, boom, I'm going to... Like with a garage door, like, do they have another garage door or a garage door motor laying around? Probably not. So they're probably going to have to order one. My only request is that if it's something that's going to take a while, just tell me.
Yeah, loop me in on the conversation.
Right. Rather than just being like, well, are they just going to say F it and like move on? And like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that does suck.
It's cold out there anyway. I don't want to go out there.
Hey, did you get snow today? We got a ton of snow up. Well, not a ton, but a ton for November.
No, I mean, we got like a light dusting or whatnot.
Okay. Oh, we got like a good like 6 inches or so. It's pretty crazy. Oof.
Too bad it wasn't 7. 1 inch would have made all the difference. We're going to have some stupid stuff.
I think you got to take it on yourself to fix this door, and you make a YouTube video out of it.
Dude, garage doors freak me out because they have that like big giant warning label that's like, do not touch these springs under extreme tension.
That's true. That's a good question. I don't actually know.
Is there a way to adjust the tension of those springs?
I don't even rightfully know what the springs do, to be honest. Like, I assume there's some sort of counterbalance for the door, but how would that work?
Oh, this looks sketchy as all hell.
Yeah. Are you Googling, like, what goes wrong with, like, what's the worst that can happen if the springs go off on a garage door?
Yeah, it's a 4-minute long video that looks like it was filmed with a banana with this guy that looks like he's never done anything handy himself in his entire life. Not watching this video. But I don't know. Maybe I'll look it up. I just want them to fix the damn door. I want to get in the garage.
I got a bunch of stuff
I got to do and the whatnot and the what have you. But
my thinking with that stuff, though, is that if it worked a couple days ago, it might just be an easy fix. It might just be something out of alignment or, you know what I mean?
I've been having the issue where, like, I'll go out to get in the garage and I enter my code in and just does nothing. And I have to enter it literally like 20, 30 times. And then sometimes once I just type in like the second number, it'll just start going up.
Really? Is it a wireless system or is there a wire running from the keypad to the, okay. I was going to say maybe you have to change the battery in the keypad thing, but no, that doesn't make any sense.
It just sounds to me garage like doors it just are kind of always dying.
Yeah. I mean, that does kind of speak to logic board failure, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know. Pain in the ass.
Oh, I wonder if the motor overheated because of the extra like effort needed to open it. And then that fried the logic board on it.
I don't know.
Like, I've diagnosed this whole thing remotely. Your condo should be paying me.
I'll send them an invoice.
Yeah. Send them like a clip from the YouTube video, like from the live stream. Send them the timestamp of this. Here you go. I figured it out.
Yeah, that was what's your consulting rate? Like a couple $100 an hour?
Oh, at least. I mean, for garage doors, it's $300 an hour.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Plus gratuity. You got to flip the iPad around and ask for tips.
Yes. Oh, I saw funny. Like, I don't know, it was a tweet or an Instagram post or something. It's every time I go into a restaurant or a business and I see an iPad at the cash register station, I know I'm going to have to tip for something that I didn't have to tip for before.
So let's talk about that. Let's be real. Yeah. Let's think. Okay, here's an example. You order a pizza, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you drive to the pizza place. You walk in, they hand the pizza to you over the counter.
Yes.
And you walk out. Yes. Do you tip on that?
I do not, personally.
I don't either. And I've had people say that I'm the biggest jerk in the world for not tipping on that. You're not.
There's no service there.
Yes.
You know, it's transactional. It's like, do you tip the person at Best Buy when you go and buy, like, you know, the latest Celine Dion CD?
Absolutely. Like, you're not, to me, that's the equivalent of tipping the cashier at the grocery store.
Yes. Yeah. That's a better example than my Celine Dion CD example.
But I mean, Celine Dion is great.
Yeah. Also, coincidental, Celine Dion initials CD. She should have called all of her CDs the CD.
Now that's a conspiracy.
I'm sorry. I'm, That's a conspiracy. Oh, man, I had a good conspiracy theory the other day, and now it's gone. Damn, I forgot when we used to, you know, okay, yeah, here's what the idea was. Every time we have a guest on the show, we ask them what their favorite conspiracy theory is. Because like everybody has a conspiracy theory that they believe, as we've discussed in the past. So we get our guests who's on to admit to their conspiracy theory.
I'm down.
Okay. We'll test it out with Mark next week.
I think Mark's going to get spicy. He's probably going to have some stuff that he wants to vent about, especially in the after show.
Yeah. He's going to go full Kanye West on us.
Yeah, wasn't there some big Kanye thing that happened recently or something?
Oh, yeah. Kanye's in a lot of trouble for saying that the Jews run the media and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, I guess we'll avoid that topic. I stay out of
yeah.
That. So here, okay, I want to end this podcast. This is something I've had in the notes for a while, and I want to hear, and we guess we've just never gotten to it. Mm-hmm. So do you have any friends or like any people you know of that have these like medical remedies that they think everyone knows about, but you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
I have a friend and she's convinced, like, anytime anybody hiccups around her, she's like, do a handstand. I will go fill a glass full of water and you will drink the glass of water while doing a handstand, like, I guess against the wall, because not everybody can do a handstand. Yeah. And that will cure your hiccups. And does she's utterly convinced of it. No, I did it. We were all at a cottage, you know, yeah. We had a couple of drinks and I was like, you know what? I'm going to test this thing. I'm going to do a handstand. I'm going to chug this water. I still hiccuped afterwards. I don't know.
Did she admit that it was a fallacy?
No, I'm pretty sure you can't. It's like, you know, it's like when you're talking to somebody who believes a conspiracy, when you present them with evidence that their conspiracy theory is wrong, that it just expands their conspiracy theory. It's like all of a sudden it's a cover up. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, she accused me of faking it. But I was like faking all the hiccups from there on afterwards.
But she was pretty incensed by the fact that it didn't work. Like, she was dead set on it.
Exactly. Yeah. This was like something that she had believed her entire life that worked for every single case of hiccups.
Okay.
Do you have a better example than that?
So the inception of this topic, and the reason I want to bring it up, is because Miranda came home a couple weeks ago and she goes, you're not going to believe what I heard at work. And I was like,
I like
you've
where this
already
is going.
Got me. You've already got
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
She goes,
That's a great way to start a like a reel or a short video if you want people to pay attention.
Sounds like a good YouTube title.
That too. Oh yeah, true. Mm-hmm. You can clickbait everybody. Sorry to interrupt.
No. So she comes home and she goes, you're not gonna believe what I heard at work. And so I'm white knuckling it already. I'm ready to go.
Edge your
seat. And she goes, one of my coworkers was not feeling well. So let's make up a name. Debbie
Cindy
wasn't feeling well. What would you say, Tiffany?
I said Cindy, but Debbie's pretty close.
Okay. We'll use Cindy. Debbie isn't feeling well. So Cindy says, oh, I have some Vaseline if you'd like it. And Debbie goes, why the hell do I need Vaseline? Mm-hmm. And Cindy goes, oh, you just eat some of it.
Is that safe? Can you eat Vaseline?
No!
It's petroleum jelly, right?
And apparently she's like, yeah, my family, whenever one of us is sick, you eat Vaseline.
Oh.
And they were like, I guess don't do that.
I mean, it in her defense, it probably isn't toxic. If you can like put it on your face and like people like put a little Vaseline on your lips, it's probably fine to eat. If Like, think about the litigious society that we live in. There was no way that all the lawyers who work at, like, the Vaseline company would let people put it on their lips if it was potentially poisonous.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
I would still never ingest it.
Right. And I'm like, why are you just willingly eating Vaseline?
Yeah, that's wild. How much?
I didn't get a description, but I mean, it seemed like she was like, you know, just like two finger it, get in there, like get like a good.
Yeah. It's not like it's not like the home remedy is like, oh, you have to drink a big gulp full of Vaseline.
You can't drink Vaseline, though. It's too thick.
I'll tell you what, if you thin it out with a little bit of kerosene, it goes down real easy.
Okay. Maybe put a little cyanide in there too, a little mineral spirits.
Yeah, exactly.
Add a little flavor.
I'm trying to think of other good little medical remedies. Everybody's got them. This is kind of the opposite of it, but this is one that gets me all the time, is people who think you can get sick from being outside in the cold. That one always drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And so like I think about it because people like, I guess the remedy is like staying warm. It's like, you don't know, you get sick from viruses and bacteria. You know, maybe being cold might put you in a weakened state where you're likely to. But I think where it comes from is when you get a cold, you have, like, they call it a cold because I think a lot of the symptoms of having a cold are the same things you experience when you're a little too cold. Your nose starts running. You might get a little cough. So I think that's where that misconception comes from. Oh, you got some research here?
Northwesternmedicine.org, they say that cold air in and of itself will not make you sick. However, low temperatures have been shown to increase, albeit a small percentage, the likelihood of contracting a cold flu virus.
Okay, I can believe that it might slightly hamper your immune system in some way.
Yes.
But you are not going to get sick from getting you're not necessarily going to get sick from getting too cold.
No. I mean, unless you get hypothermia.
Yes. That, well,
but I wouldn't consider that sick. I just consider that an ailment, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's the, oh, man, how do you define sick at the end of the day, right?
Now we're getting into some is the earth flat kind of conversation
here. Maybe this is best left for the after show.
Yeah. Well, I guess real quick before we go to the after show, I want to ask you about something if you've ever heard of this. It's it's a silly topic. But so in my hockey league, you know, we always get together, drink a couple beers before the game. And we always have, you know, it's a conversation like this, but with 10 other guys. So some pretty ridiculous stuff comes up.
Yes.
And one of the guys goes, he was talking about washing his laundry with Pine Sol.
Oh, wow. No, never. Was he talking about washing his laundry or his hockey equipment? Because when it comes to washing hockey equipment, I would support people putting Pine Sol in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Back in just after university, I had a roommate who was a hockey player, and he never washed his hockey equipment. And to make things worse, he would leave it outside year-round. Get it hot, get it cold, get it wet. And then occasionally he would leave it outside. It would get wet. And then he'd be like, oh, man, I have a game to play later today. So he'd bring it inside and he would put it in the dryer. And it would just make the entire house reek of old, nasty, unwashed hockey equipment. It was like the worst of all worlds.
Yeah.
So when it comes to washing hockey equipment, I think a little disinfectant might not be the worst thing in the world.
No. And so we're all like, what are you talking about? No one washes their laundry with Pine Sol. He's like, oh, do it with my clothes, do it with my towels, with my sheets.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Coincidentally, I'm also covered in rashes all the time.
Yeah. And so we Googled it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and his stipulation was you have to use the original pine sol, not the extra strength one. We Googled it. That is one of the intended uses of pine sol.
No way. Wow. Okay.
It's like, think of like adding like OxyClean or like baking soda or whatever. It's the same
idea. What's actually in pine sol? Do you know? Like, what's the...
No clue.
Okay. Okay. It's I know because you ever use that, what's it called? The orange hand cream that mechanics like to use? Like simple, what's it called? I might have to look this up. There's a very common, orange hand cream.
All right. Number one ingredient is cleaning agent. Number two ingredient is penis palustris. I don't think I'm pronouncing that correct. some alcohol, some more penis palustris oil, benzoic acid, isopropyl alcohol, sulfonic acid, petroleum. Hell, I don't know.
So it seems like mildly acidic.
Yeah.
So the reason I ask is, so this product that's called Fast Orange, it's really popular with mechanics because it's really good at getting grease off of your hands and like the type of oil you get from working on cars. And it's called Fast Orange because it smells very orangey because they take some oil from oranges. And it's actually whatever that oil is or whatever that acid, I'm not sure what exactly, some extract from oranges. It's really good at breaking down oils and greases. So I wonder if it's a similar thing. It's like a citric acid or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. Isn't that the same stuff like Goo Gone has? Like the...
Yes. Yeah. Goo Gone smells very orangey. Yeah. If you've, yes.
Hmm. All right.
So I wonder if pine sol, it's all in the same family.
It definitely could be. You just literally add like a tablespoon to your laundry. And apparently it also helps remove any buildup in your laundry machine as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, here's a little pro tip for the listeners. Yeah. If you have one of those front loading laundry machines, and you know how the front seal gets all gunked up and nasty over time? You're not familiar? Okay. Leave the front door to your washing machine open is the moral of the story, because it allows the whole thing to dry out and that seal dries out, and then you don't get mold and mildew building up in the seal.
Don't a lot of people hate front load washers? Is that why?
I think that's part of the reason why. I think also they just don't fit as much stuff. They're more aesthetic than they are function. They look nice, but they're not as nearly as functional as top loaders.
I mean, I'll admit, if I had a chair right in front of a front load washing machine and a stiff cocktail, dude, I'd sit there and watch the laundry go.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the whole premise of laundromats.
Right? We could start a business.
We could get a building and we could fill it with front load washing machines. We could charge admission and we could serve drinks.
Laundry bar.
Laundry bar.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new thing. Laundry bar. I like it. I like it.
Well,
all laundromats should have a little bar. Sorry.
Oh, I think every place should have a bar.
That's true. That's very true.
The grocery store.
I want to tell a little story about drinking in strange places. Toronto has this show that they do called the One of a Kind Show, and it's basically they rent out the convention center and all sorts of independent artists come and sell all their crafts. So there's a lot of people selling furniture, but there's also, you know, little knickknacks, any handmade good, really. Yeah. So I was reliving last night with a couple of my buddies the time we went to that show, and we found out that they served alcohol at it. And we just got wasted, just going around to all these little knickknack booths with a beer in our hands. It was a good time.
It sounds like a good time. I mean,
yeah.
Like, I think that like the makeup store. One, they should have chairs. Yeah. They should have like a man zone where you got like some chairs.
Yes.
Maybe a
little back room.
Yeah,
little back room. Just a fridge with some beers in it, maybe a video game console or something like that.
Yeah. And a beer for a while.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, all stores need this. Like, But I've told Miranda, and I've shared this with you, if she's like, hey, we need to go shopping for some stuff that I have no interest in shopping for, mm-hmm. I bring a drink. I put it in a coffee mug, and I'll just be like, oh, it's not too bad. I can walk around the store aimlessly sipping on a beer. I don't mind.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Like, Sophie's very good about not making me go to do shopping things that I don't really care about.
Yeah, Miranda's pretty good at it, too. But sometimes, it pops in there.
Sometimes. Sometimes, but. Yeah.
So what do you say we pop over to the after show? We've got 100 and
sounds good to
104.
Me.
104. An hour and five minutes. We pop over to the after show. We got some good questions. We want to answer in the after show because we didn't get into.
Sounds good. Well, actually, yeah, we didn't do any. Well, we did talk about medical remedies. That was kind of a question.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, patrons. Everybody listening, we appreciate you listening. And really the best thing that you can do, well, we'll just tell you this week. I won't tell you anything else other than share the podcast with somebody else. Post on social media. Yes. Tell your friends. That's all we're asking. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you. Even if you don't tell a friend, we appreciate you. But if you tell a friend, then we really, really appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's sincere. The only way we can grow the podcast is if you people get it out to more people. So help us out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I won't even shame people for not joining Patreon. I'll just tell them that if you decided that Patreon is not for you, that's okay. And we support your decision. And we will see you next week.
See everybody.
See ya.